The Football Show on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.
I'm prepared to do anything I can. Well, to do it then. Country again.
Do it then.
What about your start to the game?
It wasn't bad, was it?
Why should an honest answer be a mistake?
How can a modern day manager not have a mobile phone?
Why should he?
So another Champions League evening is progressing. The second half just starting at the Bernabeu, where it's nil all. Manchester City, the visitors, and in Lyon, second half has also started, where it's Lyon 1, Juventus 0. Big second half's coming up. Dame Delaney's been watching the first half at the Bernabeu. Relatively even. It's funny, we were watching the BT Sport crew of Rio Ferdinand, Joe Hart and Peter Crouch trying to make sense of Manchester City's approach, namely Jesus on the left-hand side, De Bruyne and Silva through the middle. They were all able to identify what City were doing. Mm. None of them really volunteered a strong opinion as to what City were trying, like the method behind the madness, yeah. Not that it's madness, and also how well is it working?
I won't say there's a myth around Pep Guardiola. When he does something different, they're all calling him a tactical genius and, you know, Pep's come with this. Right, if Man City were a massive underdog, like, say, Chelsea last night against Bayern, and you know, he came up with this and kept them at bay, and it was an even 50-50 game, because essentially the game has been 50-50. I mean, but they're all saying, oh, another masterclass from Pep. That was more the commentators as opposed to them, but I don't think it is. He's just shut up and played a game and they're 50-50.
Nil all with a team that have broken the financial fair play rules should be nil all with Madrid.
Right, so I mean, they've not gone there and the tactical masterclass has absolutely annihilated Real Madrid a la Leipzig against Spurs, right? It's not. They've shut up and they've competed. The possession's relatively even. Okay, they've had one more chance than Real Madrid, but essentially, yeah, this game is on a knife edge.
Joe Hart did make the point he would love to have seen what might have happened if they'd gone with, yes, the normal team. Sterling in the team, Aguero up front, normal shape, everything the players are used to.
Yes, and maybe he will do that in the second leg. So maybe Manchester City, this is a, I won't say it's a defensive formation, but it's definitely, let's not lose this one tonight.
Because they did in the League Cup at Old Trafford play with, what's the phrase, false nines. I can't quite remember who was up front and dropping deeper to midfield that night, but in effect the point was that let's just completely monopolise possession. Yeah. And Rio Ferdinand did say at halftime, well, maybe the thinking is you've got De Bruyne and Silva. I keep calling them Silva, I should call them Gundogan.
Bernardo.
Actually, it was Bernardo Silva that did it at Old Trafford. Yeah. So he has done it before with that player.
Yeah, but he's not playing a false nine, he's playing two out notes.
Yeah, but Rio Ferdinand made the point, well, maybe the logic is that those two would drop into midfield and City would dominate possession. But even he conceded
it hasn't didn't happen.
The game hasn't been like that.
So he's just going to put forward a theory that maybe this is what he's trying to do, but they've not done that, so I don't think they are trying to do that.
What do you think is the logic?
The logic potentially could be not to go toe-to-toe Real Madrid. Mara's just had a chance there, just bent it.
Kind of chance he likes as well.
Cutting inside. I mean, he could have slipped the ball through. I don't want to say it's a defensive formation, because it's not. He's not shown up here and looked to kind of
go five at the back.
It's not. I mean, it's potentially a counter-attacking, but they haven't done much of that either. It's not much of a formation. They haven't done anything amazing where you would kind of go.
Maybe what's unusual about it is the Jesus on the left wing thing. It's the personnel in the positions as opposed to the formation.
But I'm struggling to see what he's achieved. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's not put a formation in place and gone, okay, I'm going to do this for Real Madrid. He hasn't. He's just shut up and competed with them, and Real Madrid are relatively comfortable as well.
Do you think he overthinks things?
I said that to off air. I think he's just...
Don't give away the game here, Daniel.
He's overthought it, overcomplicated. Not overcomplicated, but overthought it, and he's just trying to be a little bit too clever for himself, maybe because he hasn't got Raheem Sterling available. He doesn't think Aguero can play as a number nine, because if they don't have possession, they get pinned in. Aguero's not really going to be much use to you. It looks like he's just put a formation just to compete and maybe get a win. But having said that, it's on a knife edge, you know.
He said pre-match to Des Kelly, by the way, that the logic with Sterling is that he doesn't have 90 minutes in him. But he was touch and go as to whether or not to play Sterling. So Sterling's on the bench. They have had to make one enforced substitution. So Fernandinho was on, Laporte went off.
Yeah.
So that will cloud how quickly he can make the next substitution. He has to be careful now.
Yeah. But I mean, if he does bring Raheem on, does he make a straight swap with Mahrez? I'm not really sure. Man City are an interesting kind of the way they're playing. You know, if you watch the Riyad Mahrez is a chalk on your heels type winger. He stays high, he stays wide. I mean, really does. And Kyle Walker's position over the last few weeks, especially when the play's going with Mendy down the left-hand side, he's almost tucked in as a central midfield player.
I presume he wants to give Mahrez a one-on-one.
Exactly. So what you don't want to do is have two players on the same line. Yeah. So if he goes on the touchline, you've got two players. But if Mahrez goes infield, then he darts wide quickly. That's very, very evident, and that's fine. There's no problem with that.
Yeah.
But on the other side, it's almost complete opposite. Mendy's high and wide, and Silva's infield. So it's a strange, when you look at them in possession, it's very lopsided.
It's not balanced, yeah.
It's not a balanced thing. And on top of that, the other thing that I have noticed, and I did mention this on a show before, is Mendy puts in so many crosses a game, right? Like, I mean, he just hits cross after cross after cross. I mean, he must be averaging 15 crosses a game in the Premier League. Tonight he's put in two and he's attempted another two. I spoke to coaches before that would refuse to cross the ball because they viewed putting the ball at risk. So you're putting the ball from 100% possession into, at best, 70-30 against, because there'll be four or five defenders in there, you might only have three attackers. So you're putting the ball into a lottery-type situation where the odds are stacked against you. Now, if the defending team get the clearance, you are very vulnerable to the counter-attack. So I have spoke to a coach before that said to me that they if they get into crossing position, they'll pull it back to retain possession and go out, but they won't just hit a cross in the box. Mendy does. I mean, that guy just fizzes the ball. I'm talking from 40 yards down. I mean, he crosses it, especially in the Premier League. Tonight, not so much, because he hasn't really had a chance
When he first burst onto the scene from Monaco, his crossing was outrageously good. Outrageously good. I remember that team, they were just fantastic. He put one in tonight that was hopeless and a waste of time, but...
But he does that. If you're crossing 15, 16 balls a game, you're going to have one or two that look amazing.
And where are you on that logic, the coach's logic? The logic is obvious, but I mean, you buy the lottery ticket, sometimes you win.
Okay, but then do you set your team up for that? But Manchester City are so attack-minded, especially in the Premier League, that when he does cross the ball into those 70-30 against situations and the ball gets cleared, they're in a very broken shape. And they're in a very, and all of a sudden those balls get headed clear, and Rodri's your only kind of stopgap. So it's an interesting, it's very un-Pep is the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
It's not like Pep Guardiola is all about possession, control. We do not give the opposition any opportunity to break on us. We don't give up anything. We control everything because that's the type of coach that he is.
Yeah.
And you can see tonight, Mendy hasn't, I mean, I think he's put in two and attempted two more that got cut out. But like, again, maybe he does view that putting the ball at risk in games like this, whereas in the Premier League, maybe he doesn't.
Kyle Walker's having a bad moment here.
Oh my God.
Chance, it's overrun by Vinicius.
He's trying to play a square ball in his field, got cut out by Modric, and Modric has played the ball straight into the channel where he was to Vinicius, and he's just gone.
I keep calling him Vinicius, is what you're going with.
I don't know, man.
Now you're confusing me. Can we get a poll outside? Shout it in.
That's what they're calling.
Not a poll. Just amongst you guys. Couldn't hear you, Enda, sorry. No, it's not that either.
That's what they're calling him on BT. I don't. Anyway, look, Vince, we call him, right?
Okay. Vince Jr.
Vince Jr. is. He just made a run in it and ended up coming to nothing. But the point I was trying to make there is, it's very un-Pep to do something like that. And I think maybe in a Champions League against top quality opposition who can pick up a ball that's cleared from a corner and cut you open with one pass.
I've had another effort in the room there on his name, but I think Vince is where we're going to leave it for tonight, because we'll just make fools of ourselves. Go on. I can't hear you. I still can't hear you.
Call him Junior, he said.
Junior, okay. Yeah. Vince or Junior. So that's Manchester City. All very interesting there. Madrid are a bit more familiar. Hazard obviously out, hence Vince is starting, and Gareth Bale's on the bench.
Mahrez just had a good strike there, straight at
On the crossing point, interestingly, their best chance by a distance was just a cross slung in.
From Real Madrid?
Yeah. And Benzema with the header. Yeah. What have you made of Madrid?
Look, they're obviously not the force of old, but again, I think you do have a tendency to look back at Real Madrid with rose-tinted glasses. They were never unbelievable all those years they won it. They were very, very efficient, very, very good side, and Ronaldo's goals obviously helped. But I mean, I don't think they'll be overly worried. Man City have had a couple of chances to start the second half, but they don't look like they're panicked. They don't look like they're going into their shell. They trust themselves. They trust the ability that they have.
Chance ball over the top. Oh, save Courtois. Ramirez and his bad foot.
That was offside. I mean, it was just a straight ball over the top of Ramos from the Man City centre-backs, and Mahrez made an internal run and got it. It looked like they all stopped that he was offside, so it'd be interesting looking back, was he? But he's had a shot across the face of Courtois, and Courtois got a good strong hand to it. I tell you, Man City is starting to up the tempo a little bit here, so maybe Real Madrid might start getting worried.
They have had the best of these 10 minutes, City, since they came out. They hit them on the break at one stage, De Bruyne powered through, and they've had the majority of possession, so that's where we are at the moment. 57 minutes on the clock. One last point before we'll take a short break, and then Pat Nevin's going to join us, actually. I suspect he's probably watching this game as Vince Jr. spins a player and then he comes back out, no cross. But nil all now, the way European football has gone, away from home, no away goal, really leaves you very vulnerable in the second leg. Like if Man City take a nil all tonight, on the face of it, nil all at the Bernabeu is a good result. But actually, if they get a goal in Manchester, then it gets very tricky. Like nil all, nil all is not brilliant, it's not bad, clearly, but it's not the great result it might have been considered a decade ago or so.
At this stage of Champions League, it would be great for them to get an away goal. I mean, you ask teams would they take 0-0 or 2-1 defeat with an away goal. It's an interesting. I think obviously they would take the
2-1.
I think they take the 2-1 defeat. Or I think they take the draw.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't want to be going into a game down. I mean, if you're going with a draw, it's a one-off moment. But if you're offered the Man City again breaking forward, here comes Mendy now.
Chance to put in a good cross. Oh, what did he do there?
It was almost a cross.
He just tried to smack it.
Yeah. Mahrez. Look, Man City starting to turn the screw a little bit. When I say turn the screw, they're starting doing the ascendancy, let's put it that way. But it's the first time they've really been in the ascendancy. And Madrid have been on the back foot. But
the second half has been a tactical masterclass from Pep. Is that what you're saying to me?
No, it's just the Man City have started the half better, but they'll need to score now, because that is that old adage that you have to score when you're on top, and right now they are on top. And Real Madrid won't panic. They're such an experienced team, and they're so comfortable playing in at home that they're probably equally as likely to score now on the counter-attack.
Yeah. Gareth Bale's warming up. That's another subplot here, and we'll see what changes Pep Guardiola makes. It's still 1-0 to Lyon against Juventus this evening. 59 minutes on the clocks here. We'll take a short break. We'll be joined by Pat Nevin, amongst other things, between now and 10.
Paddy Power and the Football Show. The greatest football partnership since Geoff and Heskey.
Well, what did I say just before the ad break? City vulnerable on the counter-attack. Damien Delaney.
Yeah, Real Madrid 1-0 up.
Said that, of course.
Yeah, they never feel, you always feel that, like, when teams are attacking them, they never panic. They always just, they're nice and calm. And I just always got the feeling they were vulnerable. No, City drew it on themselves. Yeah. Otamendi and Rodri were kind of going to me to you, and they ended up losing it. And
In their own half,
and Vinicius broke down the left-hand
Vinicius.
Side.
I got to check there. Vinicius
broke down the left-hand side, and really clever, he could have shot, but really clever pass across to an unmarked Isco, who beat Ederson quite comfortably. But, like, you know, it's all well and good Pep making changes and putting on the so-called, what they were calling, a tactical masterclass, but you need to get something out of it. And I was very unsure of what they were going for. And when you're in the ascendancy against Real Madrid, you're always liable to score. And, you know, a tactical masterclass, no questions will be asked. Why didn't he just go what they go with and go toe-to-toe Real Madrid? Why did he do this? Now, granted, they were in the ascendancy in 10 minutes, but they had a couple of efforts on goal. But here comes, nothing came of that. De Bruyne had a shot from distance. But Real always looked comfortable, as do Man City. It's just that Real Madrid have landed the first blow.
They have their 1-0 up, 64 minutes on the clock. Now let's go to this guy. Pat Nevin, it feels like a Monday. How you doing?
I have no idea what day it is. I've just been going too much. I've been going to too many football games and travelling too much. Hence the weird different background this week.
Are you on the Totally Football Show?
I'm in their studio. I've stolen their studio.
Right.
They don't know I'm here.
So how are you spending your evening? What are you doing?
I was at the Chelsea game last night, and obviously we'll chat about that in a minute, I'm sure. I had some other work to do today in London, and right up until 10 minutes ago, I was presenting a new podcast that I will be doing.
Ooh, go on.
And
Just music, don't worry. It's not competition. Just a music show that I'm doing. A lot of new music, so. Great. And it's under the auspices of the Muddy Knees or the Totally Football People. So I'll borrow more about that later.
But, yes, yeah. And what is the name of the music podcast?
We've not released it. I'm not absolutely sure, but it'll be something along the lines of Nevin's New Noises, something like that.
Okay, very good. Myself and Damon Delaney are watching Real Madrid 1, Manchester City here, 65 minutes on the clock. We did yesterday watch Bayern Munich, really, to use the words of Frank Lampard, outclass Chelsea. He called it a reality check, which it was.
Yeah, it was a reality check. A reality that I think Frank kind of knew about anyway. Mm. I mean, he'd said during the January break that they needed more players if he was going to be competitive in the Champions League at this stage. Even at the start of the season, the reality check was there with most Chelsea fans and most people around. I mean, certainly Chelsea fans said to me, mid-table, I'll be okay this season. You could bring all the young kids through. Frank, they'll stick by him. But because it went so well for so long, and I think it's since October, Chelsea have been in the top four. Mm. I mean, that's miles better than they should have done. You know, with what happened, you know, during last season, where the new manager, new system, new everything, weren't allowed to buy new players, etc. But they came up against a right good team. And it's odd because people seem shocked by it. I don't think you should be. I think that's a no surprise to a team that beat Spurs 10-3 on aggregate. Mm. They're a right good team. But having said that, you know, Frank will go away, he'll be upset and disappointed. But you take 2 or 3 years before you can get to anything close to that level.
Yeah, at least. Alphonso Davies.
Yeah, did I talk to you about him the other week? I told you he was my favourite player.
No, you didn't.
Maybe it was you weren't on. I got to see him playing in the game against Spurs over in Munich. And it was like my jaw was on the floor watching this kid. I thought he was just really quite good against Chelsea. Trust me, he's even better than that. He's unbelievable. This, because he is clearly a winger who's turned into a fullback, but he is a brilliant fullback. His pace is ridiculous. It's blinding. And then you put Serge Gnabry in front of him, who's got Mbappe pace. Mm. It is scary. But I mean, I've been sort of telling everybody about how good Reece James is and his crossing, etc. Well, they're not dissimilar ages, those two players we're talking about there. James and Davis, and Davis gave him a bit of a masterclass on how to do that. He was totally brilliant. And see, for the next 10 years, anybody who might not have seen him yet, well, don't worry, you've got plenty of time, because see the next 10 years, you're going to see a lot of this kid.
Pat, Damon, sorry. Do you think Chelsea's shape didn't really help themselves with the three at the back and only one wing back, and he had a rampaging left back bombing on? In hindsight, with Alonso, Davis, I know it's easy to say, would you not have been better going with, you know, two against two?
I would imagine in the quiet moments Frank Lampard is agreeing with you 100% right now. But I knew I did it. You mean they've done this is the fourth time they tried it, right? So they did it against Spurs away from home, and it worked. He was said to have outthought Jose Mourinho. They did it again against Arsenal, and boy, did it not work. Mm. You know, really didn't. Then they do it at home, 3-4-3, at the weekend there against Spurs, and it works brilliantly again. Such high intensity. You know, the 3-4-3, everyone really high up. And then they thought, well, what do you do now? They had one of the best games of the season against Spurs. They've been able to close down, not letting Spurs play out. And, you know, do you change it completely, go back to the 4-2-3-1 or the 4-3-3, which is his preference? And he took a chance on
I think you do. I think he, to go into the game as optimistic. I know he was probably riding high after it working in a couple of games, but sure, if he thought he was going to go there and press Bayern and win it off them high up the pitch, with hindsight, I know it's easy, but I did think the same thing.
Well, funny, it's great you should say that, because I was doing the show last night at Stamford Bridge. I was with Michael Ballack, and I'd said to Ballack before I'd done a technical thing on the big screen with Ballack, and I said, look, Chelsea will close Bayern down and, you know, they won't get any space if they do it as good as they did against Spurs. And Michael went, no, Bayern will play through you if you do that.
Right.
They're too good for that. They're a better team than Spurs. And he was absolutely nailed on right. And it's the first time in all the time I've been watching Jorginho and you know how much I like Jorginho as a player. He hardly got a kick. And him and Kovacic, who have been good this season. But I think it's, Damien, I think you're right. It was the system. We talk about 3-4-3, but you've basically just got two midfielders there, haven't you?
Yeah.
That's not enough against Bayern Munich.
Yeah, especially the two boys are so good in possession, Kimmich and Thiago. Now, listen, I think Chelsea would have been beat anyway, you know, and I think over the two legs, Bayern were, of course, going to go through, but maybe it wouldn't have been the massacre it was last night if they just kind of covered up, you know. Maybe that might not have worked either, but when Bayern are such a superior team, they're always going to beat them, and it's just a case of Chelsea keeping it alive for the second tie.
Damien, you're absolutely right. It is a learning process for Chelsea. I talked in this program a few months back when Chelsea got through to this stage, and I said that what was considered a very odd thing, I'm not convinced I was particularly happy about Chelsea getting through. I thought they would have been better in the Europa League with another year's learning at that level. You know, and I mentioned that to Balak last night, and of course, Mr. not lacking in confidence, Michael Ballack would disagree with that because he just wants to be top Champions League player. But for these players coming through, especially the younger ones, the every likelihood if they'd have come up against a Barca, a Real Madrid, a Juve, Bayern, they were going to get a lesson.
What are your thoughts on Mason Mount? What do you think he's at as a player, or what would last have done for him?
Why don't you tell him where you think he is first?
We've been through this. I think he's developing. He's a young boy. I think what you said there about going in the Europa League for him would have been better to be exposed to what he was exposed to last night. But you know, I think the phrase I used last night, the lads gave me a bit of stick, was I called him a little bit milky. You know, he's in and out and not as set. But obviously Frank believes in him and he believes that he's going to develop and get better. And he might well do.
Milky being as in a milky cup of tea, you said. Yeah. Not a good thing in his book.
But go on, Pat, what do you think?
Damien, I actually take your point there very much. So at the start of the season, he was doing this amazing thing and always arriving in the right place all the time. Just like Frank Lampard, really like Frank. It was stunning. Yeah. Now, he's not as good a finisher as Frank, but his positioning of getting into that final part. Now, he was playing at that point in a 4-3-3, but he was further up. He was one of the front three, right?
Yeah.
So he was getting there easier. They moved him back a little bit, and he wasn't as effective. And then he had that tail off that some young players do. Yeah. So he had that period. The game against Spurs, honestly, his getting into those areas was brilliant. It really was top class. And in actual fact, the game against Bayern there, at the game, and I don't know if it always comes across at the telly, but you were seeing his runs from deep. He was the only danger. He looked like the only danger. The problem is, and I think it was really shown up, he got behind the Bayern defence three times and got caught every single time.
Yeah.
And we know why.
Yeah,
he's not as quick as some of these guys. And if you're one of the wider tackles in the modern game, and if you're Kingsley Coman, and if you're Serge Gnabry, and if you're, you know, Sadio Mane, when you get beyond, nobody's catching you. It's just not happening, right? Yeah. And maybe that's the problem. He's going to get to be stop being so milky. Then if you had that extra bat, and I would say that's the thing more than anything else. And I think it really shows up when you see it against class.
Yeah.
It really jumps out at you. I think he's a nice player. He's going to do a good job and he'll get to a certain level. But the world-class ones have got that wee bit extra. Funnily enough, I will say one thing. Frank Lampard never had that pace.
Yeah.
But he found a way. But that's a big ask, isn't it, to be... But he is brilliant at arriving. He is really, really quite special.
I guess Lampard was more of a arrive late and time it perfectly as opposed to a running behind.
No, he did run in behind last night.
Mount. But he can't arrive late.
He does the arriving late as well. Yeah. He's really good. That's his calling card. Yeah. He's really good at that.
And it will be part of his learning process. It's just a steep one that he was up against last night. I mean, I don't think there's any player in world football would have gotten away from Alphonso Davies last night. Maybe an Mbappe or somebody might have made it a competition. But I mean, realistically, that was... I've never seen anyone move so quick in a football pitch.
It was kind of stunning.
There was a great thing as well, talking about learning curves. So he played Giroud, which I think was the right call because, you know, Tammy Abraham, he's got bits to learn. And it was a really nice, and it's maybe a bit too obvious, but there was two moments in the second half where there was brilliant crosses from Chelsea, straight across the goals, and Tammy Abraham wasn't there to tap them in, right? And what happens up the other end? You know when that ball goes across the goal that Lewandowski's going to be there, standing there with a fag. Because you know when to go. And he does it every single time. And it is that learning curve for these young boys. So there's a lot of gloom and doom in the newspapers and the media and all that about Chelsea. There's none of it at Chelsea.
Yeah, I agree. I think Chelsea are in a good spot. You know, if Frank gets Champions League this year, it's a good year for them. Hopefully he'll get some money in the window. He was probably hoping for some money just in the window, just gone, just to reinvigorate the squad or maybe just get some more legs in it. But I think Chelsea are in a good spot. I said it to you last night.
And Pat, just a final one, and we're watching here, Gareth Bale is on for Madrid. They're still 1-0 up, and actually both sides are starting to create a few chances, so much is going to be decided here in the next 15 minutes at the Bernabeu. On Munich, and it probably, look, you just can't watch everything, so I don't watch much Bundesliga, but we had seen, obviously, Kovac lost his job, and you just kind of from afar look at Munich and assume they're in that... not steep decline, but just coming off the Pep years, and you know they're going to head in the wrong way. But geez, watching them last night, to what extent are they in the mix for this competition?
Yeah, I would say they definitely are. I wouldn't say they're absolute favourites, but if they've got a number of players, if you've got Lewandowski on there, and by the way, he looks as well as he's ever looked. Yeah. He really looks as good as he's ever looked just now. I actually think he's a better player now than he was 3 or 4 years ago. So. Age is really helping him just now. They relied so much on their wingers before, and we know they were both getting old, right? They were amazing, but they were getting old.
Yeah.
Then you look at them now and you think, you've replaced them. I can't believe you believe Arjen Robben's been replaced, but he actually, it may well be that, you know, Sir Gnabry is actually good enough to do that. So, yeah, they've been down a little bit. The new manager's done a great job. I mean, we all have to say it in the UK, like, Herr Flick, well done. But he has, you know, but he has got them together, and there's a real belief. They were seventh place in December in the Bundesliga. Yeah. They get beat five twice this season. And you watch them, and you think, how did that happen? But there are enough good players in there. I wouldn't put them as favourites, but they're definitely in the mix. But could I say one little thing in Chelsea's favour? You're right. I don't think any team could have been put out there by Chelsea to win that game. Totally. Go on. What's happening?
Man City have just scored. Gabriel Jesus might be ruled off though, outside for a push though. I think he did. It was an awfully free header, and the defender seemed to go tumbling if he pushed him beforehand. But the referee's not giving it, so it'll have to go back to VAR. But hang on, it's Kevin De Bruyne working a bit of magic, chops back on his right foot, stands one up. Oh, that's going to be ruled out. He's pushed Ramos. Yeah. Oh, maybe not. He's had a little push.
Is it a foul if you just put your hands on his back and don't push?
But Ramos has made it a lot. I think that's going to be overturned.
Oh, this is big. We'll see now.
This is Real Madrid at the Bernabeu. This is going.
This happened to Chelsea last week when Azpilicueta was pushed, and then he pushed. I can't remember who was that. Was that against Man United? Maybe. Anyway. Yeah. They got it wrong.
It's been given. It stands. He's telling Luka Modric to get lost, the referee. So it's been given 1-1, 12 minutes to go, an away goal from Man City, 1-1. They would take this and run, Pat.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's magnificent for them. And they can spend all their time and all their efforts on this. They ain't going to win the league. Mm. So, you know, this was a big one for them.
Sorry to interrupt, because you got to run and we got to run. Did you see the City starting lineup, by the way? Did you hear about the formation?
But they've done that really odd thing of putting two centre-backs at centre-back.
No, they tried that. They're experimenting with that.
Really weird idea.
And they went with kind of a 4-4-2 in effect with, Sterling was on the bench, Aguero was on the bench. Jesus was effectively a left-back. At one stage, Jesus was tracking, you know, in behind Mendy at one stage. So Jesus was left-wing and it was De Bruyne and
Bernardo
up front.
In an old-fashioned 4-4-2.
Yeah, but they dropped back. The bits I was watching there, you know, De Bruyne dropped much further back than that, didn't he? So
he did.
It's probably an adaptable one. Did you know that all the rules are different for Pep? You know, he does things that if any other manager would do it, you'd say, what an idiot. But because it's Pep, you think, oh, I just wonder, you know. and it's a kind of nonsense. You should actually treat him the same as everybody else. When he makes a mess of it, doesn't play a centre-back, and you lose a goal through the middle, just call it.
Yeah, because, Damien was getting angrier as the BT commentary kept talking about a Pep tactical masterclass, even though it was nil all and they weren't dominating the game at all.
But if it works up for a 1-1, you're going to say it probably is.
Yeah.
I had one last line I wanted to say about Chelsea, and it would have been interesting because of what you asked about the system there. If they would have been able to play a midfield of Kante, Jorginho and Kovacic against Bayern Munich, I don't think it would have been that bad. Yeah. I don't think being in close to maybe a 1-0, it would have been a much, much tighter game. So we're all getting a bit carried away with how bad Chelsea were in comparison. Look, the tactics went wrong. They were missing an important player. With their best team, they would have been a wee bit closer. So, yeah, Bayern are a good team. That's why they're not the team that is going to win it right away. Mm. They've got a bit of growing to do as well.
Okay, very good. Listen, thanks so much for making time. I know you're busy. By the way, the Wi-Fi where you are now is just unbelievable. It's like we're getting HD TV right now, Evan. As opposed to the Scottish 1990s TV, Pat Nevin.
This company's obviously going up in the world because they've got all the studios and all the rest of it. Sadly, they seem to be giving me a music show, so I'll blow it for them. I'll ruin it for them.
Tell us when that's up and running. We'll give that a big plug as well.
I will do it.
All right. Okay. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Pat Nevin there. Always great to get him on. 10 minutes to go. 1-1.
Masterclass back on.
Yeah, listen. It's more open this second half.
Yeah, the last 15 minutes have been very, very... Oh, my God, it's a penalty. Oh, my God, that's got to go for a penalty. He's given it as well, hasn't he? It's a penalty. You can't... Oh, my God, Man City are going to win this 2-1. Masterclass. Said it all along.
Oh, my God.
What a stonewall penalty.
What a clumsy
challenge. Raheem Sterling taking on Carvajal on the left-hand side. Carvajal dived in. Yeah, I don't want to say he's going nowhere because he's going to get to the end line and cross it, but he's in the box and he's just lunged late.
It's the perfect Raheem Sterling situation. He gets the ball maybe 10 yards outside the box and Carvajal's backing up. And when Sterling knocks it by him, as you said, all he's doing is getting to the end line to put in a cross and Carvajal goes to ground.
Early. Like he's committed to going to ground there very, 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 very early.
Mm. It's a definite penalty, isn't it?
Oh my God, like, I mean, VAR don't need to look at it, it's fine.
De Bruyne, how many penalties have Man City missed in the last couple of weeks?
I know.
4 or 5, I think. It's De Bruyne they're going with.
Oh, this could be brilliant.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. De Bruyne to take a penalty. Who missed one the other week? Was it, who? Aguero. Cheers, Enda, cheers.
Oh, Courtois, his countryman. Oh, I bet they've done this in training a few times.
They will know each other well. Here goes De Bruyne.
Oh, casual.
Great goal.
Sends Courtois the wrong
way.
Great goal. Rolls it into the, across his body, right-footed. And Courtois went the wrong way. 2-1 Man City. Oh, my God.
Wow. Rolls it into the left corner. Courtois dived. Big moment in that game. Raheem Sterling coming on, making the difference.
Yeah.
Okay, 2-1. We're taking a short break. Back in 1 sec. It is Real Madrid 1. It is Manchester City 2.
Paddy Power. As much a part of Irish football as celebrating a home draw.
Oh, we're just watching a replay because Sergio Ramos, for just the 26th time, has been sent off, straight red card, Jesus bearing in on goal. We're watching the replay. What has happened is that Ramos put his hand on Jesus' shoulder.
He's touched him.
Yeah. And put his hand on his shoulder and Jesus went down.
I think that should be overturned.
I'm surprised VAR doesn't look at this.
It's a real dive. It's an absolute. I mean.
So he's already given the red card. They can't rescind it now.
Oh, you can't?
He's gone. He's off the pitch.
Oh, but can VAR not say, no, you can come back on?
Yeah, you should have said it a few seconds ago.
You can do that, but I mean, that's not a red card. I mean, anyway, Real Madrid have self-destructed. They give away a penalty, and then they've been messing around with the ball in the middle of the park. I think it was Vasquez left the ball short for Varane. Varane kind of couldn't do much. Jesus is going through one-on-one, and he's gone across Sergio Ramos, and Ramos has kind of jumped out of his way and his hand has touched his shoulder, and Jesus has just gone down. Free kick outside the box.
Mahrez into Courtois.
Mahrez straight into Courtois, so it's 2-1. Ramos now will miss the away leg, so that's probably the only plus. I think they would have preferred a third goal there, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah, for sure.
If Jesus just stayed on his feet, 3-1, and Ramos playing in the away leg would have been much better.
It felt like Ramos was catching him. Like, I would have thought Jesus had beat Ramos in a
foot
race.
He did run across him. I don't think it's a red. I mean, it's so soft. Gee, I mean, if you see this, he's put his right hand on his right shoulder.
And hasn't actually yanked him back.
Not at all. I mean, he's brushed him
Yeah.
with his hand.
Can I say this, by the way, don't judge me, But man, it was such a good dive by Jesus.
It was, yeah.
He felt the arm.
I have judged you.
And then Jesus, he's on the shoulder, he felt the arm on. He flung that shoulder back as if
it was ripped. I know, but I mean, fair enough, man. You're playing against 10 men now for 2 minutes or whatever it is. If he just stayed in his feet and slotted it.
Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, it's 3-1, and that's more or less tie over, you know.
Yeah. No, that's I think
that's a let off for Real Madrid there, by the way, because it's not like they got a penalty or anything out of it. They got a free kick in the edge of the box.
Yeah.
But Real Madrid have self-destructed, and it's pretty unlike them, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah. It was a good free kick routine from City. They made the gap, and Mahrez hit the gap, but not with much power. By the way, speaking on Virgin Media this evening, Brian Kerr was asked about the changing expectations modern players have when it comes to the information they're given and when it comes to just coaching generally.
I think the modern player, with what goes on when they're underage now, when they're developing in the various academies, they're kind of expecting that they to get help. They're expecting information. They're expecting more analysis. And they know the opposition will have that analysis about them too as players. So I think it's up to the players what they're prepared to take on board, how confident they feel about themselves, whether they need the information or not that's available. But I think that the managers and the coaches should provide the information. I think we saw it with recently with some teams. I know when I was managing, Ireland, you know, the media threw one out that I was overdoing it in terms of information I was giving players, but they hadn't really any idea of what we were doing in terms of match preparation. They were quite short, the meetings. The video sessions were actually very short because the players' attention span was quite short. Yeah. So, but they put out this because it wasn't been done so much before. Whereas why, if it's right in other sports, is it not acceptable in our sport? So I think in recent years, I think Trapattoni, with the national team, for instance, would have spent a good bit of time. That Martin obviously didn't. I thought when we watched the games that it was obvious that some of the players didn't know what to expect from the opposition.
If a manager today doesn't do it, he leaves himself open to criticism from players within the squad. Oh, well, we didn't prepare properly. So I think you've got to say, there you are. This is what they do. This is what this individual does, and what they take from it is up to them. But you have to give it to them.
Yeah, you probably do. To what extent did the amount of information you were receiving at the end of your career differ from when you first started playing Championship?
Yeah, I mean massively.
Yeah. Did it help you?
Yeah.
What was the most helpful information to get?
It just puts your mind at ease on a Thursday if you're doing match prep and you're watching videos on the opposition. What are their tendencies? What are they like to do? What are they prone to do? Who's a danger man? Who picks up certain positions? It's just all handy to have this in your mind because when it happens on a pitch, there's a level of comfort comes with it. I think Brian said there, the players, expect information. I think they want information, and all the young kids know they do. They love it. They give them as much as you can.
Right.
There is a danger that you can go too far and give them too much, and they will get confused. But I think a coach has to do it.
And did that information tend to come in the form of a video package that they would send to your phone, or was it almost like notes on a sheet, or how was it?
You do video sessions on maybe Thursday on the opposition.
Yeah.
What they're good at, and then you might talk in between about, this is what we do, and I think if we can get a lot of this, you know, we'll get a lot of joy out of what we're trying to do here. And then maybe on a Friday you'd get an email or a bundle of notes, really, of a breakdown of each individual player.
Did you read them?
Yeah, I did. Definitely the all the attacking players, and set pieces and things, you know, where the in-swing and out-swing, and what areas did I like to hit, the movements, because I would always get the biggest player, you know, so whoever their best header of the ball was, I used to always get him. So I used to watch a lot of tape on those guys, because usually there'd be blockers and you'd be coming out of traffic and stuff like that, so you kind of want to know, do you take the long way around, which way, and then when you kind of get around the end of the pack, you need to attach yourself again straight away. So I would kind of watch a lot of that, looking for blockers and things, so yeah.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. All of these games are available to Virgin Media TV customers. All of these games, by the way, being 400 UEFA Champions League, Europa League and Nations League games live this season, available to Virgin TV Media TV customers, who can also download the TV Anywhere app and stream the action whenever and wherever they like. So final 5 minutes here, a minute to go in this game. It is Real Madrid 1, Manchester City 2 over in Lyon. It's still 1-0 to Lyon against Juventus. That'd be a good result going to Juve. Mm. I haven't seen too much of Juventus this season either, the way it's fallen. I'm not sure Sarri has gone down overly well with the Juventus fans, but they'll be in the mix.
I think a cultural thing because he's been at Napoli and the whole north-south divide in Italy.
I think so.
I'm just asking you, yeah. Do you reckon there's something have they accepted him, or has he always been on the back foot with them?
I don't know. I think obviously he came in, and I mean, I'm sure Sarri ball was amazing over in Napoli. You'd see the clips, it was fantastic. I mean, I was really excited to see what he would do with Chelsea. Mm. And for want of a better word, it was a bit boring. Mm. So I don't know what he's doing with Juve.
Look, I think he'll be judged on trophies, and he's in the mix for a lot of trophies.
They're point clear in Serie A, but they're 1-0 down tonight. Has that gone full-time to Bernabeu?
It has.
Okay.
Well, look, I asked before, can Pep get a result, a big result? And I think he has. And
that was not easy for them tonight.
I think they dug in, man, and they competed, and they probably in the end deserved their 2-1 victory on the balance of play and chances, just about. So I think it probably is a fair result. It's not a smash and grab or anything.
Yeah.
But Real Madrid did implode.
Didn't they?
Yeah, last 15 minutes they just kind of absolutely imploded.
Like the Ramos sending off, that was a gift of a situation where they just gave possession away under not that much pressure. Mm.
And the Carvajal penalty.
Penalty at this level.
Yeah.
Like, whatever about their deficiencies, maybe further out the pitch, they didn't win all those Champions Leagues with Carvajal making tackles like that.
Yeah.
That was a really strange decision.
I think there'll be a big old cry in Spain over the goal. They'll say that Ramos was pushed. It's a push, but it's half a push, right? But what I'm saying is, if you don't give that and then you send Ramos off for what he did, you know, you're into the kind of world of where how much contact is enough contact.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, Jesus definitely had a little double-handed push into his lower back and kind of pushed him underneath the ball, but only a slight one. And it wasn't even looked at by VAR, did it? It didn't even go to...
Didn't seem to.
It didn't. There was no VAR goal check.
I presume they're looking at it, and if they feel there's an issue...
But doesn't it normally come up,
to the referee.
VAR check?
If the referee calls for it, yes. So if something happens and the referee kind of gestures to VAR, or if VAR comes in straight away, the VAR will come up on the screen. Mm. But I think in the main, if the referee doesn't call for it, VAR won't come up on the screen. But that doesn't mean that the VAR truck can't be looking at it and then buzz
unless
down
the referee said, I have seen it and I don't think it's enough. But at the same point, then you can't send him off for what he did. Now, I know I'm not getting any sympathy for Sergio Ramos out there.
Yeah, just his 26th red card.
I know there's nobody out there going, yeah, Ramos was hard done by.
Yeah, but it is funny. As soon as you said that point about Jesus, he should have actually just. Oh,
just
tried
on your
to
feet.
Score.
I mean, he's in the middle of goal, in the D, going through one on one, just slot it, and again the tie's over.
Yeah.
And I hope they don't live to regret that in the second leg.
You make them favourites now to go through.
Oh, no doubt, yeah.
And I think two away goals.
You know, I did question Pep before, and I think if he can get out of this, we'll have been a lot more happy for him.
And they lost Laporte as well, which was another.
He clearly wasn't fit.
Thing.
I mean, it looks like he's done his calf of some description. But if you're not conditioned and you've been rushed back and you put your body through the game that he had on the weekend and then again tonight, something's going to go, like a soft tissue injury is going to occur, definitely. Mm. He didn't look as sharp as what he normally does. I won't say he was carrying a bit of weight, but he did look
a little bit
chunky.
Yeah, around the midriff he's looking
looked a little bit, so I don't know what he's been doing.
Yeah. So, 2-1 to Manchester City, Lyon 1, Juventus 0. That is in the final few seconds of added time. That is pretty much us done for this evening. OTBAM coming at you tomorrow, our daily breakfast sports show, 7:30. All our social channels, listen to as well on the OTB Sports Radio via the Go Loud app. In the morning, Kieran Donaghy on with Shot Clock and more besides. And then tomorrow night, John Giles and Babs Keating. So that is us done. For another Champions League week, Damien Delaney, we'll talk to you when we talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming in. And Tom Dunn's on the way next. Good luck. Give my-
yard of grass. I'll give you a move for the perfect pass. Give my ball any yard of spice. He'll give you a move with good late grace.